Wondery Plus subscribers can listen to Generation Y ad-free right now. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or Apple Podcasts. Listen to a bold new take on George Orwell's classic 1984 on Audible. Starring an epic cast with Andrew Garfield, Cynthia Erivo, and Andrew Scott, and featuring Tom Hardy as Big Brother. Plus, a haunting original score by Matthew Bellamy and Elon Ashkari that takes this thrilling production to the next level. Experience an immersive listening experience like nothing you've heard before. This chilling tale of constant surveillance, thought police, and rebellion is more relevant now than ever. Big Brother is watching and listening. Hear why those who control the past control the future. Listen to George Orwell's 1984 on Audible now. Go to audible.com/bigbrother.
There are days like today where I am just too busy to get outside and go feed myself. And that's where DoorDash comes in. It's super convenient and they bring the food to me. Also, I don't like paying delivery fees. So I have DashPass. DashPass is an exclusive membership from DoorDash that gets you unlimited $0 delivery fees on eligible orders and members-only deals and discounts, all for only $9.99 a month. DashPass actually pays for itself in two orders on average. DashPass makes it easy to save at restaurants, grocery stores, and all your local favorites. Open the door to $0 delivery fees and savings you can't get anywhere else. Sign up for DashPass today only on DoorDash and get your first 30 days free if you're a new member. Subject to change, terms apply.
Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app to listen ad-free.
From Wondery.
How are you doing tonight, Aaron?
I'm doing fine, Justin. How are you feeling?
I'm doing okay. We have another update on Scott Peterson. He's just appeared in court seeking a retrial. I don't know all the details to it, but it seems that he's made some progress, and I'm interested to see if that actually pans out or not.
This really came about because the California Supreme Court not too long ago said this deserves another look because the original trial judge had excluded certain people from the jury, from the juror pool, because they were against the death penalty. I guess in the court's opinion, this wasn't quite fair. But yes, this is Scott Peterson trying for another trial, and his attorneys now have 60 days of discovery, and they're due back in court June 21st. Now, I think this is interesting because I don't remember what percentage we gave, but we both fell on, we think Scott probably did this crime, but that's a think. This is a thought. This isn't, we're super certain. You know what I mean? So I would certainly be interested in a retrial. And I think if he really did it, then at this point, they can reprove it. I don't know how popular that idea is, but you know, this is one of those cases where there are a few questions. This is one that just was so well covered in the media. And I find it hard to believe when I look back and I really think on this case that a jury really could be so impartial. Not to shoot down the jurors that were involved in this case. They had a lot to decide and a lot to review, but you know, he didn't get a fair shake in the media, and his lifestyle certainly played a part in that. So if we're going to have a fair system, as popular as this case is, I think another trial is what we need, and maybe we can settle this once and for all.
Well, with that, tonight's case is something that we haven't covered yet, but I did speak with the producer and director of the show, Terry Dunn-Muir. This was the Alonzo Brooks case from the Unsolved Mysteries I don't know if it's a relaunch or the Netflix series that they put out.
It's definitely the latest version. There were two prior versions to my knowledge.
This one was actually the case that I asked her most about during the interview, because I felt like it was one of the more solvable ones. I felt like it was, the answer was just out of reach, and somebody knows something and they're not talking. So yeah, I've already given away what we're talking about tonight, Aaron. So
what are we talking about tonight, Aaron? Yeah, we're talking tonight about, no, and I remember when you spoke with her, and this did seem to be possibly the case that really caught your attention because of just what you said. And I think that's very popular sentiment with this case. A lot of people feel that way. And so as we dig in, we'll see how we feel by the end of it. But yes, tonight we're talking about the 2004 death of Alonzo Brooks.
Alonzo lived in Gardner, Kansas. Now, I have a connection to Gardner. I used to work for Sprint, Embark, and then CenturyLink. And one of the last buildings they had in the Kansas City area, even though Gardner's 25, 30 minutes outside of Kansas City, was in Gardner. And I had to drive out there all the time. It's a very typical small Kansas town, and they have a Walmart and a McDonald's and multiple stoplights. But this case actually takes place, or the event actually takes place, in Lacine, Kansas, where they don't have a Walmart and they don't have a McDonald's. It's a pretty tiny little town.
I think many in our audience has probably watched the episode, but let's talk a bit about Alonzo Brooks, who he was, and more about his family. Now, in 2004, Alonzo was 23 years old, and he worked in Gardner, his town, for a janitorial and maintenance service. He was biracial. His father, Billy Brooks Sr., is black. His mother, Maria Ramirez, is Hispanic. He was the youngest of five children. He had three sisters and a brother. Now, according to the family, Alonzo was the surprise baby. That's what they called him. But he was wildly popular at the family. He was known for being very, very neat. I heard he even ironed his money. He just really liked to keep up a very good appearance. He also was crazy about the color red, about the Kansas City Chiefs, and he enjoyed Budweiser beer and Newport cigarettes.
He was a fun guy to be around. He was always laughing. He was always joking. He was into sports. He was very athletic. And he had a lot of friends. I think that says something.
Now, before we get into this, he was not known to be a guy to go to parties. And a lot is made of this, but, and this just might be my own just personal opinion reading into it, but at the time Alonzo was 23, maybe he just felt like changing something up that weekend. I mean, isn't that possible?
Yeah, I think he just wanted to hang out with friends. And I mean, we can speculate all day about why he chose to go to this party, but if you've been out to Gardner, Kansas, let's just say it's not the most happening spot. So you might just be looking for something to do. No offense to everyone that lives in Gardner.
Well, I can tell you, I remember you telling me on the phone, like, oh, I've got to go to Gardner today, or yeah. That, and I hadn't really heard of it before you started talking about it. So this party is in Lacine, and it's about an hour away from Gardner, Kansas, a very remote area.
There's a very long driveway from the country road to the house. And this is pretty typical of most people that live out in the country. You have a big, long gravel driveway, lots of land, lots of fields, and even unusable land, as they sometimes call it, with creeks and ravines and trees and whatnot.
And I'd mentioned that people make a big deal about Alonzo not really going to parties very much. Well, when his mother was talking to him before he left, she wanted to know what he was going to be doing that night. He said, I'm going to go to this big party out of town. And being a caring mother, she said, you know, make sure you bundle up. So she went on to say that he actually added two pairs of socks under one of his feet for compression because he had injured his ankle shortly before. So anyway, you got these friends that are all heading out to this party, and there are people from, they say, all over the area going to this party.
Supposedly it was a guy that was going away to the military. It was like a sending off party.
Let's get to some of Alonzo's friends because they're pretty crucial to this case.
I think the most important friend is Justin Sprague or Sprague. He was the one that was driving with Alonzo. He was the one that was supposed to be Alonzo's ride home. He had two other friends, Daniel Foon and Tyler Broward. They were all at the party, but those two would end up leaving early. And Justin would stay because Alonzo seemed to be having a good time.
And Daniel and Tyler went there separately. So you had Justin and Alonzo going, Daniel, and then Tyler. They were all going to meet there. Now, the reason why Alonzo went with Justin is because Alonzo never learned to drive, didn't have a driver's license. Justin offered him a ride and they went together. So what do we know about this party house, Justin?
Well, I think you kind of summed it up right there. It seemed to be a party house.
This was what they described as a historic farmhouse.
There were some people that were renting the house that got evicted. I'm not sure if this was an eviction party they were throwing or what, but it's very remote. And all the people at the party were playing music loud, drinking, smoking, having a good time. And by all accounts, Alonzo was into it and he was hanging out. I guess they were playing cards and other things. So he was mingling. He was talking to people.
And Alonzo, like you said, he was wanting to be social. When he showed up to the party, he yelled out, "Who wants a beer?" I mean, what better way to make an entrance, right?
Yeah. Now, this gets brought up a lot when you hear about this case. Gardner, Kansas, last time I checked, was 98% white. And Lacine is about an hour south of Gardner. So people point out that Alonzo, he was probably one of few, if not the only, black guy at this party. So he would stand out. People would remember him. He's not going to go unnoticed. Now, during this party, it's said that there was an altercation between Alonzo and some of the other guests, another group of guys that were there.
Daniel, Alonzo's friend, stepped in to break up what he thought was a fight that was about to break out.
And Daniel alludes to this fight being over possibly some racist slurs being said to Alonzo. And there's speculation that Alonzo might have been speaking to the guy's girlfriend or something like that, and he didn't appreciate it. But I mean, the fact that Alonzo almost went to blows with a guy at this party, I'm thinking, let's jet. Why would you want to stick around if that's what's going to happen? Because I've been to parties like this. It doesn't just blow over. Everyone's going to drink more. Tempers are going to rise. And this might erupt later when you're walking out to your car, when you're outside peeing on the side of the house. You know, maybe they all walk out and follow you out there. It's just a bad situation, but they stick around for a bit.
I want to add, when the party initially was going, there were about 50 people. But at some point, another party had its own issues. And about 40 or 50 people left that party and went to this farmhouse, this party house. And really what I guess stands out to me is that Alonzo's friends are saying a lot of the people at this party were considered country, which really wasn't their kind of, you know, normal crowd that they'd hang out with. So it's possible Alonzo was being harassed at this party, right?
Yeah.
Now, you said, why don't they just leave? And I'm also thinking, Alonzo isn't exactly known for being very outgoing in large groups. He kind of keeps his circles smaller. even though he's well-liked and he has a lot of friends. So at this party, he's very outgoing. And I don't know what that says. I don't know if he's just letting loose because it's a Saturday night and he's partying, or if something's already happening. But what I do know is Daniel, one of his friends, well, he gets a call. Hey, there's another party. Well, according to him, his ride is leaving to go to this other party. So he's saying, I have to go. But I'm also wondering, hey, things got heated. Why would you want to stay? But he says goodbye to Alonzo. But then Tyler says he's leaving. That's two of his friends right there. That's about 11 in the evening. And those guys, because they said goodbye to Alonzo and he didn't say, oh, do you mind if I go with you? They're assuming, well, Justin's still here. He can give Alonzo a ride. Makes sense, right?
No, I mean, that's who he showed up with. So Justin and Alonzo are chain smoking. Justin runs out of cigarettes and he asked Alonzo if he had any, and Alonzo said no. So Justin says he's going to go pick up some cigarettes. And at this point, Alonzo's seems to be okay with staying at the party while he goes and gets cigarettes. And Justin says he'll be right back. Now, as he was leaving, he ended up turning right onto this country road instead of left. And then I guess he ends up getting his car stuck when he tries to turn around, because these roads have these ditches off to each side. He was about 30 minutes north of the farmhouse, which, well, when you're out here, I guess a short trip to get cigarettes, unless you know exactly where you're going, that's not a short trip. And this isn't going well for Justin, apparently. So he ends up calling his friend Adam, who he thinks is still at the party. And he tells him, hey, let Alonzo know that I'm lost. Then he says he asked Adam if he could give Alonzo a ride home. So it's a little unclear if Justin is planning to get back to the party or if he's just completely given up. And Justin claims that he's speaking with Adam. Adam's at the party and Alonzo's in the background giving him grief about getting lost. So this is according to Justin. Everything's sorted out. Adam's going to give him a ride home. They are together.
And what do we know about Justin's whereabouts once he decides he's not going back to this party?
That's the thing, is Justin got his car unstuck. He actually had another friend with him in the car, and they ended up getting to a gas station. They pulled some money out of an ATM, and of course, the ATMs have cameras on them. So they withdrew $200. And they will end up just going to a strip club and not returning to the party. Justin and his friend will be kicked out of that strip club, apparently, because they're drunk and high and being belligerent.
But Alonzo doesn't get a ride with Adam. In fact, he isn't seen alive after that point. So what we don't really know is we don't know who the last person or persons were to see Alonzo alive. We know that Justin supposedly spoke to Adam on the phone, but why didn't Adam give him a ride home? We don't know that, do we?
No.
I mean, everybody makes it seem like, well, we thought so-and-so was going to give him a ride. We thought so-and-so was going to give him a ride. So it's April 4th. This is the next day, 2004. Alonzo's not at home. Maria Ramirez, his mother, looked into his bedroom. His bed was undisturbed. And she called out for him. I think she was hoping he was just somewhere she didn't figure he would be. Like maybe he'd come out of a bathroom or something. But he never made it home. I think the real reason she got concerned was because a friend called for Alonzo.
She's calling all the friends. All the friends are calling each other. Nobody's heard from him since the party. If nobody's driven him home and no one's heard from him, there's a problem. And that's when Alonzo's mother decides to call the police and report him missing.
How many times has this come up in conversation on true crime podcasts, period, Justin? 48 hours.
Yeah. Alonzo's mother says that law enforcement tells her she has to wait 48 hours to file this missing persons report. And we've had so many people write into us when we say that. And they're like, no, you can file it immediately. And we never said you couldn't. We're just saying what's alleged that law enforcement told them. His mother is saying, no, he didn't come home. There's something wrong. Nobody has seen him. And they're having to go back and forth to try to get a police report filed.
So because everyone's calling each other, the friends are talking. And according to Justin, he figures out that Adam either thought Alonzo had driven himself home, or he must have forgotten that he was supposed to give him a ride and left. I find this really strange because wouldn't his friends know that he didn't drive?
You would think.
I mean, unless Adam is just Justin's friend and not Alonzo's friend, in which case, that's really odd that you would depend on someone who wasn't really friends with your friend to get him that ride home.
And I just wonder what was said on that phone call between Justin and Adam. Did that phone call actually happen? Was Alonzo in the background? Had Adam already left the party? There's some questions there because I'm thinking, why would Adam just leave?
No, and it's really weird given their age too. This sounds like something maybe teenagers could do, but people in their 20s. Alonzo has another friend, Rodney English, someone he's known probably a lot longer than these other friends. He tried to help Alonzo's family because he was concerned. Maria Ramirez was trying her best to work with law enforcement because they're saying, just wait, but Rodney is all too happy to organize a search. Justin actually takes part in this. Hey, I can take you to the farmhouse. So he leads them out there and they start walking around the property, just all over the place looking. And it's Rodney who finds Alonzo's hat, which is a beanie, and he finds one of his boots. They say the other boot was found across the road on the same side as the property. Just all this stuff's just out in the open.
Now, Rodney thinks that this appears that somebody tossed the boot and the hat out of one window and then tossed the other boot out the other window of a car as they drove down the road. When Rodney found Alonzo's boots, he claims that a guy rolled up on an ATV and told him and the family that they're not allowed to be on his property and they should leave. It's really foreboding to have a missing friend and then find his boots because, again, this is, I think, 45 miles from Gardner, Kansas. Alonzo's not walking home, especially not when he doesn't have any shoes on. And it was raining a little bit that night and the next day. So.
And don't forget, he had an injured ankle from the week before. But Rodney's not okay with this. Now he's confronting Justin. He's like, what did you do, man? Why'd you leave Alonzo? And Justin is getting defensive and saying, look, man, when I left, Alonzo was having a good time. There was no tension. Whatever had happened, that blew over. But I don't know that Rodney believes him.
This is his best friend, and he's missing. There was altercations that happened. Justin will go on to say that there were more fights that were reported that night outside of the altercation that Alonzo was in. So this sounds like just an out-of-control kegger party. I used to go to these kind of parties. You know, you don't leave a man behind. You look out for your friends. So Rodney's having a real hard time trying to understand how Alonzo got left.
Now let's stop here for a moment. I think we can look at this and say, some of these friends of Alonzo's, they didn't know him for a long time. And you know how it is. Some people think they're a better friend with somebody than that other person might think of them. There's a difference in perception here. And I'm not trying to excuse anything. I think you're right. When you go somewhere with someone, if you give them a ride, you're responsible. You should be making sure they get back. And it's not just a little phone call like, hey, so-and-so needs a ride. All right, see you later. That's not good enough.
We're brought to you by ZipRecruiter.
So the other day, Aaron and I were trying to get concert tickets to a show we really wanted to see. And I waited before I bought my ticket. And guess what? I missed my chance. And that's why you have to act quickly, or somebody else will get it instead. It's like hiring for your business. If you want to find the most talented people for your roles, you have to scoop them up before the competition does. So that's why the best way to do that is ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter finds qualified candidates fast. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/GenY. ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology takes center stage to identify top talent for your roles, and immediately after you post your job, ZipRecruiter's smart technology starts showing you qualified people for it. Amp up your hiring performance with ZipRecruiter and find the best fast. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a qualified candidate within the first day. Just go to this exclusive web address right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter.com/GenY. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/GenY. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Well, what we do know is Alonzo didn't make it home. Rodney was out there with some of these guys. They're looking around and they find some of Alonzo's things. Things that you really, you know, he wouldn't just leave without. He wouldn't leave without his hat or boots. It just doesn't make sense. They need to put some heat on the Linn County Sheriff's Office. I mean, after all, they found some of his items. Surely they'll understand that maybe there's a problem here.
But they're told he might be out walking around, taking a stroll on a country road without shoes on.
So an officer was dispatched, went to this farmhouse, looked around, didn't see him.
Yeah, and there was nobody at the farmhouse to answer the door either.
Marvin Stites, he was the sheriff. Supposedly he ended up searching the area. He didn't find anything. So he invites the Kansas Bureau of Investigation in on April 5th to conduct their own searches. But once again, nothing. Now, we can keep going over this, Justin, because this is something that keeps happening. Law enforcement looks, they don't find anything. Others go out there, they don't find anything. They look around the farmhouse. They look over parts of the creek that's on the property.
They do have a sketch of the creek. They bring in scent dogs. They bring in helicopters. It appears that they're doing their due diligence. And at this time, the water in the creek is very low. It's just a light stream at this point. You can see the bottom of it, and it's not deep enough that you wouldn't see a body. And if a body was halfway submerged or on one of the banks, they would have found Alonzo if they actually searched everywhere they said they searched.
Do you trust the law enforcement who searched the area? Do you trust the KBI? Do you trust the sheriff's department in Linn County? Because we know of cases where a body was somewhere and law enforcement missed it for a while. It's possible, but this one's a little trickier because even though there's a lot of land to search, there are some real questions about, was the area searched as well as they said, or is there something more at work here?
Now, on April 5th, the family came back out, and this farmhouse, this party house, it's completely empty. Now, whoever these renters were to just be gone, and that's a little suspicious. Now, the only explanation I could give is maybe part of that party was their eviction party, and they were moving out the next day. But the fact that somebody goes missing and then the house is empty doesn't look good.
Alonzo's family, they really wanted to conduct their own searches. And the sheriff's department was telling them, look, we're handling it. You need to slow down. Because they were calling so much. The police weren't loving all these calls. They didn't like all this pressure. But, you know, after a while, and there are no answers, we're talking into May now, there are no answers. They didn't find anything else. They feel like they have to do something.
You know, and honestly, nobody's living at this house now. It's vacant. So they're saying, we want to search this area because we got nothing else to go on.
Well, there are owners of this house. I mean, they rent it out, but they're our owners. And part of me wonders if they're the ones that discouraged anyone from searching in the first place. After all, it's private property. We've seen this in other cases. But the sheriff's department eventually relents. May 1st, 2004, they say, okay, you can conduct a search. And this just completely alters this case. Because up till now, Alonzo was just missing.
The family gathers friends and volunteers, and they looked at this white shed that was in a field, and then they went and started walking along the creek banks. So, you know, you have this creek that's going through the property, and around the creek is trees and, you know, not exactly a wooded area, but that's where they went because open field, well, you'd think that the dogs or the helicopter or somebody else would have been able to spot a body laying out in the open. So they go where they think a body could be hidden, and they find him almost immediately. Now, this is where I'm not sure if law enforcement had searched that area and not found Alonzo, then that means Alonzo wasn't there. And now he is there. So he showed up later after the fact. Or did law enforcement not check this area thoroughly enough to find his body? This becomes a big question. Because if he was placed there later, that obviously means foul play. I don't think somebody would be roaming around for weeks on this property with no contact with anyone and then fall down and die next to a creek. So if he was placed there, then that means he died somewhere else. And his boots have been thrown about and whatnot. So to me, the common sense explanation is foul play if he was placed there.
I constantly think about the comments by his family members who saw him in the creek. And if you watch the Unsolved Mysteries episode, it certainly seems like they're suggesting that he was too well preserved to have been there for as long as he supposedly was. Because we're talking about a month. So what gives? Well, the autopsy is performed by Dr. Eric Mitchell. And Dr. Eric Mitchell says, a lot of the soft tissue was decomposing. In fact, his throat was so decomposed that there was no way to know if he had been injured in that area, strangled or stabbed or anything like that. So, did he drown? No signs of drowning. There was no water in Alonzo's lungs. But one thing that really surprised me, Justin, was he still had his wallet.
He still had a lot of belongings on him. He still had some ID cards and even like pieces of paper. And all this stuff was actually in pretty good condition. I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, is he in good condition because he was in a shack or in a climate controlled basement? Or is the shade from the trees just enough to protect him from the elements? The medical examiner seems to think that his body showed the appropriate amount of decay for someone being outside for 27 days. I'm looking at this and I'm looking at his belongings and I'm thinking, I don't know if that's the appropriate amount or if this looks less decayed, less worn than it should. Now, it's not said how much the water in the creek might have rose or fallen, but this is where I have a problem with what the medical examiner says. He gives an explanation of why his body might not have been found when the police searched the area. He says, well, he might have been swept away in the water. You know, he might have entered the creek somewhere else, and then the water level rose, and then he was deposited where they found his body. But if that's the case, then I would expect him to be waterlogged or bloated or at least his belongings on him to be more soggy and destroyed, but they're not. So there's a little bit of a contradiction here. Either A, he's laying there in a nice shaded area And that's why he's not as decomposed as he should be. And nobody found him, or he was deposited there. But I don't believe that he entered that creek somewhere else and then water swept him to where he was found, because I would just expect all of his stuff to be destroyed at that point.
This autopsy seems to answer no real questions. And that's basically because this medical examiner says you can't figure out enough information from the body. There's too much decomposition. But he does say there's no obvious damage. There's no broken bone. There's no gunshot wound. There are no penetrating injuries.
So he essentially rules the death undetermined, which at least he does that.
But this medical examiner, Dr. Mitchell, got in trouble. And because of claims that he was harvesting organs without family permission and improperly storing skeletons in his office, he was asked to resign. This was years later, of course, but...
So his credibility's called into question here, and...
So, of course, people have all kinds of theories here, Justin. I think one that really isn't on the table is suicide. I think that's out. But anything else, that's all on the table. People are talking about, well, maybe he did wander away. He was messed up, really drunk, took his shoes off because he wasn't feeling well, and then fell into the creek. But of course, he didn't show any signs of drowning. Other people think, well, yeah, he was kept. He was killed. Maybe he was put into a freezer while he was alive and he died in a freezer. And then once they felt like enough time had gone by, they would move the body, because who knows, maybe they would be investigated. So they needed to move it. That's why Alonso was found in May rather than April, because, well, all that time he was being hidden.
I don't think a freezer would have been required. I think if you would have put him in a basement or somewhere that was sheltered from the elements, that alone can preserve a body for longer than a body that is exposed outside. He was found along the side of the creek. So any search that was happening there, every single search team walked along the banks of the creek. They claim that's what they did. So if they did do that, then that means Alonso wasn't there during the law enforcement searches. So who put him there? Was it somebody that lived at the house? Somebody from the party that knows what happened? His friends, between Justin and Adam, those are the last two people to see him alive. It's a mystery.
You said earlier that someone knows something, and that's a popular line that's been attached to this case. Well, supposedly the police tried to track down whoever had been at this party, and, well, doesn't seem like anyone's too willing to talk, but apparently the police did locate some other black men that were at the party, but they claimed they never heard any racial slurs at this party directed at them or Alonso. But, you know, I think when you look into this case, at least this happens for me, I go back to, was Alonso flirting with a girl? I mean, again, like you said, people are drinking, tensions rise. This is totally believable to me that something could have happened to Alonso just because he's having a good time, but someone else doesn't want him to have a good time. They don't like Alonso. Maybe they're racist, or maybe they're just overprotective of a friend. After all, he doesn't have any friends there left to look out for him. There are no witnesses. Think about it. No one's talking. No one's saying what happened. Why do we say someone knows something? Because after his friends leave, Alonso isn't seen again.
I think he would have stuck out at this party. I don't think he could have just slid out the back door unnoticed. Even if his friends weren't there to witness what happened, somebody else at that party witnessed what happened. I don't believe that he just wandered off. Neither does any of his friends or family, for that matter.
So we said there are multiple theories. Some people have suggested that perhaps one or more of his friends had something to do with Alonso's death. I mean, after all, Justin says, oh, I don't remember anything happening at the party. When I left, he was having a good time. But maybe, I mean, if he wasn't involved, maybe he just feels uncomfortable with all this and he doesn't know how to deal with it. He probably feels great shame.
Absolutely. And I think that Justin does have kind of an alibi because he did show up on a security camera and he did get kicked out of a strip club. So if he had done something, it would have been fairly quick as he was leaving, and then he would have had to come back and move the body or something like that. Don't know how that would have worked out.
One of the other popular theories is there's a well-connected family, the Boone family, who had people at this party. And there was a story that supposedly Alonzo had maybe gotten into it with this, with some of these family members, or at least one of them. Now, for me, I can't really put much stock in this because we don't have enough information. I don't think you need a connected family for something bad to happen to somebody. I think you just have to have a lot of people who don't want to be involved. Since the episode aired on Unsolved Mysteries, the Department of Justice and the FBI reopened the investigation. And in 2020, in June, the United States Attorney's Office made the announcement that they were offering a reward to anyone with information to the tune of $100,000. So they're announcing, this is according to U.S. Attorney Stephen McAllister, his death certainly was suspicious and someone, likely multiple people, know what happened that night in April of 2004. What I like about this, Justin, is, you know, we have local law enforcement saying they've done their best. They can't really explain it. They seem to suspect foul play. But now you have the federal government coming out and saying, we believe something happened here and we'll get to the bottom of it.
We're looking at over a decade later here. Can they even track down who was at this party? Can they even track down any potential witnesses?
I think that's a real question, but I also think that people were questioned back when. And as long as those notes still exist, I think there's a chance. What I think the real problem, though, is that, and this happened in July of 2020, Alonzo's body was exhumed so that it could be examined by the Armed Forces medical examiner. That's great. You know, we have the findings from that, that he had injuries that are inconsistent with normal patterns of decomposition. That allows them to say this was homicide. Problem is they're looking at a body that had been buried for many years. So how do you take this, Justin? I mean, the original medical examiner, sure, let's just toss out that person's findings because we don't trust them.
Take a moment to get a word from our sponsor, Field of Greens. I like eating healthy, and I've tried a lot of different supplements. I've tried juicing, and I've spent a lot of money and wasted a lot of time. And let me tell you, honestly, none of those things ever made me feel better. With Field of Greens, it's a superfood that gives you nutrition the way nature intended. It's packed full of organic fruits and vegetables, not extracts. And when you're getting those nutrients, you can sleep better. Notice things like your hair and your nails feel stronger, helps with digestion. You just feel better overall. My favorite flavor is the strawberry lemonade. I have a feeling you're going to love this product the way I do. But if for some reason you don't like it, they give you a 100% money back guarantee. Plus, you can get 15% off your first order and free rush shipping. Visit fieldofgreens.com and use the promo code GenY. Promo code GenY at fieldofgreens.com. fieldofgreens.com. Go check it out.
Medical examiners, they can deem something a suicide or a homicide or undetermined, not solely based on the condition of the body. They take in where the body was found, the environment it was found in, how the body got there. They take in all of this information. And so I don't know if this new examination has found anything new on Alonzo's body, or if they're just looking at the situation for its entirety and going, looks like foul play.
Well, according to the report, they're saying injuries that are inconsistent with normal patterns of decomposition. They're just not telling us what they are specifically, and maybe that's because they'll tell us when they take someone to court. I mean, do you think they're that far along, or do you think they just have a little bit more information?
I just think they have a little bit more information, and sadly, if something is not investigated properly or to its entirety at that moment, sometimes you'll lose your ability to crack the case. I think it's a good step, and I hope that I'm wrong, and I hope that they can figure this out, but I hate to say it, but I feel like it's too far gone.
I feel like someone's going to have to come forward. Someone will finally have to talk, because what we have left is we have a grieving family that now only has this small victory. They've had two small victories. One, they found Alonzo. They said it was important that they be able to bury him. And second, they have this report that says that their son, their brother, was murdered. But, you know, I think about Maria Ramirez, his mother, and she visits his grave. And she says when she goes there, she asks him, "What happened to you?"
I don't think any family or anyone who knew Alonzo could experience this and be satisfied with what law enforcement was saying or with the lack of information that they've been able to uncover. Something happened. People at this party are tied to it. This shouldn't have gone on this long. This should have been solved, whether it had been foul play or not. We should have had answers by now.
Have you done much reading on the theories that are out there? Have you read one that we haven't talked about that you think people might be interested in hearing?
I did a lot of reading on theories. The most controversial one is when people point the finger at Alonzo's friends, Justin or Adam, and blame them for his murder, because you see these guys on the Unsolved Mysteries episode and you sympathize with them. You believe them when they appear to be devastated over Alonzo's untimely death. All the other theories are pretty much based around something went down, too many punches were thrown, and then they have to cover something up. Personally, I don't think the cops are involved in any kind of cover-up or anything. The most I would question their actions is their lack of response, and hopefully they did do their due diligence and search the area, because if they did, then we have to assume that somebody moved Alonzo's body to that creek bed.
Well, I've thought a lot about this creek, and I know it branches. I guess I don't feel like law enforcement's involved either. I also don't know that it's important that there's some connected family who had members at this party.
No.
I've also read that the search by this family on the day where they found Alonzo took more than an hour before they found him. If that's true, I wonder if law enforcement, any of these agencies, spent enough time searching. I mean, how much time did they waste searching anywhere but the creek? And then once they went down the creek a certain way, maybe they didn't go far enough. I know that sounds crazy. You know, all it takes for this to be a huge mystery is a few bad choices. One could have been, maybe they just didn't go far enough down the creek. And that's really stuck with me, because I just have a hard time believing that anybody would go to such great lengths to hide a body and then suddenly place it somewhere where it would easily be found. I mean, you're talking about a month of effort. And I'm not saying it's impossible.
And I agree with you on that, because why would they hide the body for a month and then put it somewhere where it's absolutely going to be found, unless it's just simply they're lazy? Why would they agree to have the family back out on the property if the body's there? You know, it's said in the episode, maybe they wanted this to be over, and so they put the body where the family would find it. I'm like, why would they do that? That would just bring more attention onto them. But
yeah, there's no telling. And, you know, I get why people would say that, that it's like, okay, just give them the body. But better than that, if they had just buried it somewhere, do you know how much land is out there? They could have buried it and no one would have found him. That's what sticks in my head. I mean, why put him in the creek? I understand if you put someone in a creek, it will wash away evidence, most notably DNA. But yeah, if you bury him and you don't find him, I think that would have made more sense. But again, I'm trying to think for people who I don't even know if they exist or not. But surely they must, because if someone asks me, was Alonzo Brooks killed or did he die because he was really drunk and stumbled away? I think he was the victim of a homicide. But how he was killed, what were the circumstances? Those are the mysteries. We don't know. And that's why this case continues to haunt his family, as well as many other people who have become invested in it over all these years. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you're listening right now. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app to listen ad-free. Hey, Prime members, you can listen to the Generation Y podcast ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
Welcome to the small town of Chinook, where faith runs deep and secrets run deeper. In this new thriller, available exclusively on Wondery Plus, religion and crime collide when a gruesome murder rocks the isolated Montana community. Everyone is quick to point their fingers at a drug-addicted teenager, but local deputy Ruth Vogel isn't convinced. She suspects connections to a powerful religious group. Enter federal agent V.B. Loreau, who has been investigating a local church for possible criminal activity. The pair form an unlikely partnership to catch the killer, unearthing secrets that leave Ruth torn between her duty to the law, her religious convictions, and her very own family. But something more sinister than murder is afoot, and someone is watching Ruth. With an all-star cast led by Emmy nominee Sanaa Lathan and Star Wars Kelly Marie Tran, Chinook is available exclusively and ad-free on Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.